Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is Business Finance FIL 240 for spring semester 2026. Today, the time value of money. I will not go a full lecture because you do have a quiz, a surprise quiz, that you'll be taking here in just a little while, but we'll have time for the markets. And one new special trick that you need to know how to do when you're analyzing screens. But we begin with a look around the world here, and as you can see over on the right side, that the Asian markets were in really good shape today. They were all bullish, and say that again. Oh, let me. Fine, if you want to see it too. Sorry about that. I'm always forgetting that. Okay. Now, as you can see, though, the Asian markets were really strong. They had a good jump at the opening. And then for the rest of the day, they were pretty much flat, but that was a heck of a jump. You had the Nikkei was up. The Nikkei up, that is a ridiculously high jump. That's almost 4% for the day over there. So that there something was really happy. And that all happened at the opening bell. Something really good news was happening overnight before the market opened up. And then it just pops up in the air. Hang Seng looked good. Australia was fine. So we had a really good bull day over there. Now you go to Europe and it was a little bit odder there. It started out kind of lackluster, a lot of the markets did, but then they started to move up. You see the CAC 40 on the Paris Exchange, you see the DAX, they were all, and Euro next was, they all started out kind of quiet, but then they did a good strong surge. Even London was not nearly as excited, but at least it made a surge near the end and came out of negative territory to finish up a little bit. But over here on this side of the world, we had the Dow was up a lackluster 0.15%. And then you had the S&P 500 did okay. It was up 0.2%. And the NASDAQ was up a good strong 1.10%. That's pretty normal, the order. In other words, Dow goes up a little, S&P 500 goes up more, and then the NASDAQ goes up a really good amount. That's a normal day on for these. The thing that we want to look at now are the commodities, which have some very strong concerns. The first one, as I had told you, gold had no interest in staying below 5,000. We had this giant drop, and you had the financial papers saying, oh, it's the end of the gold and all the bull crap. The whole point is that those investors who are into gold are strong believers in it. It had a downturn. Now we're back up. We've punched 5,000 back up to 5,100, and we still are aiming at $6,000 an ounce. And that's because there is a group of investors who see that the current problems with the U.S. economy and even the global system because of the U.S. economy, we are in for a really, really bad period. That's what they're thinking. Of concern more immediate is, as I had mentioned last week, oil is moving upward now. And there was that's no surprise. I told you why it was low. OPEC had opened up the spigots to flood the market with oil, and that brought the price down and drove out the small and intermediate competitors. And now that they're gone, guess what OPEC's doing? They are turning off the nozzles on that big gush of oil. And so you're beginning to see the price of oil rising. We're right now with crude. Crude has made it to above 64. And light sweet Brent is up there. Brent is up there trying to find 69. It won't be long before we'll see $70 an oil, a barrel oil, and the sky's the limit. Eventually, you'll probably see it up to 80, $90 a barrel. And already the price of gasoline is reacting by going up. It's slow to react on the downside, and of course it's quick to react on the upside. You know, what a surprise that is. But yeah, if you notice, the gas prices are rising now, and they'll keep rising. That will choke off the economic activity, and that's a big problem, of course, because we already have a fragile economy as it is. So good news is not very abundant on this side of the world. Let me do something here. I want to show you something. First of all, have a look at the technology and other sectors. This is flashing a bull day. Now, those are light green, not dark green, so it's not a massive bull day, but there was a broad bullishness to the market. It was a weak bullishness, but it was bullish. And of course, that's led by the technology sector, which just dominates the economy anymore. So whatever you're thinking about a good rally, it's being led by that high technology sector, which seems to even show green when everything else is red, for various reasons that are difficult to get our minds around sometimes. But anyway, so we do have a sector map that's showing that it was a bull day. We see that the NASDAQ, all three of those numbers I show you are up for the day. So we take our wins where we can get them. Now, I want to come over here for a couple of things. Part of this is just to keep reviewing these companies with you and getting you comfortable with looking at the numbers and identifying what the different numbers are telling you. And I'll show you something new today. But first, just a look at one that is a pretty normal company. We'll look at Target, or Target, if you will. Target, coming in here, it's having a little bit of a bear day. The thing that is surprising about Target is that its beta is showing a fairly risky stock at 1.14. That's about near where you would want to be as a normal investor. You get a beta much higher than that, and you're talking more about professional investors. But we know that Target is a great company. It's always got what you want. It's open very early to pretty late, and it's just a fun place to go. Now, full admission, I am a Target ho. I go there all the time, okay? So don't take my word for it. Go there yourself. It got great stuff. But that beta is a little on the high side. But if you look at the numbers, if you want to buy a share of Target, you look at the ask, it's $114.99. If you want to sell it, it's $114.94. And it does pay a dividend, which is nice. It pays, actually, that's a pretty handsome dividend. The dividend yield is the dollar dividend divided by the price. In other words, this is sort of like your return. You get a check for that much, or at least you hope to. But the dividend yield is what we really care about, and that's a decent 3.95%. That's regardless of what the stock price does. That's what you get as a shareholder as a dividend. You notice that, interestingly enough, that even though Target is a substantial store, its market cap is, compared to the ones that I was showing you last week, at Target is at $52 billion. It's not a big, huge operation when you get to the scale of Google, Amazon, Nvidia, Tesla, companies like that, or the Saudi oil company. So, we take it for what it's worth. However, let me take you over here to Walmart, trading symbol WMT. It is one of the behemoths of the earth. It is a monstrously large company. And I see what I did. I typed WMT in the wrong slot. Okay, WMT, OMG. Okay, there we go. Now, This one, look at the beta. It is much lower. This is actually a conservative defensive investment at 0.67. What does that mean? Well, it's just that Walmart pays a dividend, but it's a wretched dividend. Target pays a much better dividend as a yield, and yet that should make it a safer company. But here we have Walmart that pays a lousy 0.72% dividend. That's lousy. But here it is, just a golden child and all that. But notice its market cap. This is one of the monsters, $1.028 trillion. This is one of those, essentially, it's like an oligopoly, or it just controls so much of the supply chain, controls so much of the consumer market for food and dry goods, all that. But there you go. Now let me take you over to a company that I will use to teach you a new trick. This is 3M, MMM, Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. It is a company that is quite old. It's a very old company. It does all kinds of things. 3M does everything from mining minerals to making masks, making COVID masks. It's just like everything. Its beta is surprisingly high. And I hadn't looked at 3M in a long time, and I just looked at it this morning, and I was actually kind of surprised. I thought I was going to be able to, I was going to show this one, and I'd say, well, here's a low beta company. But that's a strong, that's a 1.17 is not a low beta. That's a beta that is on that edge of investments that maybe should be avoided by typical investors. But one way or the other, as we look across it, we see that this company does pay a dividend. It's not a very, it's not a spectacular dividend. It's like 1.81%. However, we have something to do here, and I need to write some stuff on the board for it. There's something, let's start with this. Suppose that I have a stock that is right now selling at $10 a share. In 3 years, exactly 3 years, we expect that stock to be $12 a share. I can calculate a holding period return by saying, okay, HPR, holding period return, would be $12 over $10, end over beginning, minus one. And then I would times that by 100 to make a percent, because we always like to work in percents. And what that would give me is 20%. So this holding period return is a 3-year holding period return, a 3-year. We don't like those. We like to have everything annualized things so that we can compare apples to apples. Well, this one had an 8% annual return. This one had a 12% annual return. Okay. However, that's only part of it. There's another piece here. But what I want to do is I want to do a 1-year holding period return. Holding period return, HPR. There are two pieces to it. There is the capital gain as a percentage. And then there is what you get as a dividend yield as a percentage. Now, if you remember, notice up there, The service is kind enough to give us the dividend yield. So all we have to do is copy that number in parentheses from the forward dividend and yield. But the HPR, well, where are we going to get that? Oh, I see it. It's 177. The 1 year, their forecasters are saying that in 1 year, 3M, you could sell a share of 3M for about $177.32. If you bought it today at, can you switch that over once, 169.78 minus 1. Then times it by 100%. And then I'd add the dividend yield to get the full thing. So I will take 177, and I encourage you to do this 0.32 with me, divided by, that's the one-year target. You use the one-year target on top. You use the current price on the bottom, divided by 169.78. 69.78 minus 1 equals. And I will then multiply that by 100%. I get a 4.44% capital gain. Now I just look up there. I see that the dividend yield is 1.81%. So I put those two together plus 1.81%. So my total 1 year return to investing in a stock, I buy it today, dump it in a year. I get some stock price increase and I get my dividend check. I've got myself a total return of 6.25%. And that's an annualized, that's an annual return on this stock. You will begin to see this for yourself as I do this. I'm just going to keep doing this every day from now on. This actually is a lousy return. You've got a beta well above one, so you're taking a lot of risk, and you're getting a lousy total return on your money for a year of only 6.25%. Let's do this again, except this time I will use Verizon. Verizon is actually a pretty old company now, oddly enough, but I want to go up here. Let me get Verizon, VZ. There it is. It's currently at 47.04. So let me go down here. Now, the forecasters are saying that in 1 year it will be $49.34. So if you buy it today for $47.03, you can sell it in a year projected for $49.34. And you're getting a hell of a dividend. That's a decent dividend, 6.11%. That's nice. So what we'll do is, just type it in with me. I take the value in a year. Well, I'll sell it for $49.34. Oops. Divided by, I buy it today, 1 year before that, for 47. Whoops. Divided by 47 $2.02 minus 1 equals times 100. Don't forget to do minus 1. Don't forget the minus 1. And then say equals times 100. So the capital gain on this is 4.93%. Now add in the dividend yield. Don't forget to add that. Now, if there's no dividend, a lot of companies don't pay a dividend. You just don't put anything there. But in this case, I do have a dividend. Plus, what was that dividend yield? That was a nice, fat 6.11%. So my total for Verizon is 11.04%. That's my total return for a one-year hold. Now, first of all, notice right there, Verizon dominates 3M. 3M gave a little more than half of that. But here's the kicker. Look at the beta on Verizon. A very low 0.32. So you're taking a much lower risk to get a better return. What does this mean practically? It means screw 3M. Verizon dominates it. Lower beta, less risk, and a higher expected one-year holding period return. No doubt about it, Verizon is the winner if you had to make a choice. No one has to tell you this. You don't have to have an advisor, a talking head, an article on the web. This tells you Verizon is a more attractive investment, right there. Let's probe one more, and like I said, I'll just keep doing this, and you'll get used to it. By the time you get to the quiz and an exam, you'll be able to do these really efficiently. But let's do another one here, and what I'll do is I'll reach into another industry. Let's do ConocoPhillips. That's COP, ConocoPhillips. Now, Conoco has a beta even lower than Verizon, a little bit. So let's do the same thing we did before, one-year holding period return. You take the one-year target estimate, like I did before. I'd say 114, 47, or 74, sorry. Grr, 74. Ah, I'm so tired of this. Start over again. 114.74 divided by, now you go up and say, okay, that's a year. What would it be if I bought it today? That would be the divided by the top number, 108.74. Don't forget to minus 1 and then say equals. So the 1 year over the current minus 1 equals times 100. Time, and you, that's just so you turn it into a percent. Equals. So it's capital gain yield. What you make on the price appreciation over a one-year hold is 5.52% about. Eh. Okay, now let's add in the dividend, and that's calculated for you, thankfully. You always use the one in parentheses, the 3.12. Okay, so I want to do plus 3.12 for the dividend yield. And you get a total holding period return of 11.57%. Yeah, 11.76%. Okay. Now, you probably noticed that Target and Conoco have about the same projected total one-year holding period return. Conoco is slightly preferable because it has a slightly lower beta than Verizon. It's not enough to really be noticeable. So I can see that these are approximately both desirable, especially compared to that dog that we first looked at there, 3M. You can see that 3M is just not even in the same ballpark as these. And these are attractive. These are low-risk stocks yielding you more than 11% on an annual basis. You're going to have this, you are projecting that stock price is going to go up nicely, and you're getting a nice dividend check in the mail. And those two put together tell you that you've got a decent deal going on here. I did. Whatever. I am not going back. If this calculator can't understand what I mean when I tell it to do something, I swear I'm going to start using and write an AI that can hear me and not believe what I type in. But anyway, but one way or the other, the thing though is that what I'm trying to show you here is that there is an objective way to decide for yourself. Look at these numbers. They'll tell you something. I could even pull up one more of them if I, well, that certainly did. Let me try that one more time. Just out of curiosity, let me throw one more in here. Now, by the way, you can actually see a negative gain. If the stock price is projected to go down, you could end up with a negative in here. And that's showing up more in the last couple of weeks. You're seeing more projections that the price is lower in the future, in a year, than it is now. And I'm trying to avoid those so it looks a little rosier than maybe it is. But just to throw one in here, Tesla, TSLA, just for shots and giggles. Tesla right now is at $419.92. Its one-year target is $418.81, and it doesn't pay a dividend. So there's no plus the dividend yield. So if we ran this one, just out of curiosity, $418.81 for 1 year out, divided by, and then bring up the current price, $420, minus one equals times 100. And because there's no dividend, this is the end of it. Oh my butt, let's try that one more time. I know it's not a good investment, but try it again. 418.81 divided by $420, which is what it is worth now, minus one equals times 100. Whoops, I don't want to do that. I want to do minus one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Times 100. Times 100. Let's try that one more time. I'll do it. Yeah, 418. I say bad things about Elon Musk, and now he's trying to get me back, I think. Minus one equals times 100. So your total holding period return, because there's no dividend to buffer this, you'll lose 0.28% on Tesla over the next year. That's the projection. And you are eating a beta, let me point that out, you're eating a beta of 1.89. So I think the message here is that You tell me that I'm going to invest in Tesla, TSLA. I'll say, are you high? No, don't do that. It's just the numbers are pointing away from that severely. One more, just to show you how dangerous these investments are. NVDA, NVIDIA, one of the high-tech big dogs of the world, NVDA. Let's see what that one does. It's 189.81 right now. Projected to be 253.62. So we take 253.62 divided by the current price, which is 189.81 minus 1 equals times 100, and it doesn't pay a dividend, I don't think. So let me look down here. Oh, it does, a point plus 0.02, tiny, tiny little dividend, plus 0.02. That's already percent, so equals. So Yahoo is predicting on this one that you would make a one-year holding period return. You buy it today for $189, you sell it in a year for $253.62, you would make a whopping 33.64%. But you're also eating a beta, where the heck is the beta on that thing? Of 2.31, which is insanely high. You are taking an extraordinary risk for an extraordinary return, expected return. That's the danger, is that up here in the stratosphere, you could crash and burn like a Tesla, or you could become a very wealthy person overnight in a year with an NVIDIA. But in any case, because those betas are so high, you're taking all the risk in the world with either one of those. That it's and that's the bottom line. To the average investor, I mean, Verizon and Conoco, 11%. Well, that's not bad for betas that don't give you a heart attack every day. This is the what we do in this business is we look at where is the best play, not where is the riskiest, possibly the biggest payoff. We leave that to the speculators. We leave that to the people who talk on the internet and on TV shows. For the responsible investors, both personally and for their companies, we like to look at things that aren't ridiculous like Tesla and NVIDIA. Now, what I want you to do is to pull out attendance radar and get yourselves set up with that. And once you're online, once you're on track with that, what we'll do is, make sure that you're using your Illinois State University email account in attendance radar, because any other one, you're not going to get any attendance credit for it. And once you've done that, I will have the quiz open for you. And once you've gotten that done, that will be all I have for you today. And I thank you for being here.